So what'd you put it in? What did you put?
Lolly, lolly.
Hello, is everybody here? Are we on?
Yes.
Hi.
We're here because we're here.
Yeah. Hello, and welcome to The Klatch. You're listening to KVSH 101.9 on Vashon Island, Washington. I'm your host, Linda Nygaard. And here at the table with me are Susan McCabe and Heidi Skrypek. Hi, you guys.
Happy Tuesday at 3 o'clock.
Yep, that's Heidi.
Happy January 11th.
And that's Susan.
Yeah. Well, you know, we're here after missing our last episode because of Snowmageddon.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, we'll talk about more about that in a bit, but there's some tales to tell. Okay. I just want to remind our listening audience that we do have email, theklatch@voiceofvashon.org. So email us. Tell us your thoughts. Pretty soon we're going to have a phone line, too. So, but you got to let us know that you're there.
We're going to have a phone line?
Yes, we are.
Ooh.
So there.
Boom.
It's pretty
okay, uptown. So, yeah. It's really good to be back in the studio. We're in a different studio today.
We are. We're sort still, of sequestered.
Yeah, it's really interesting to be in the studio. I've never been in it before, and I've been around a long time, but I haven't been in this one.
Well, I can give you some Voice of Vashon history, because this is the Sunrise Ridge studio that was built literally by volunteer hands a long time ago, maybe 15 or more years ago.
Yeah.
And I was one of those volunteers who painted the walls.
Yeah, hammered the nails.
Hammered the nails and put
it's
up
It's a really nice studio. It's so the sound is better here, I think, than it is down there.
But, well, and it has evolved
and
over
it's cozy.
Time.
Yeah.
It was furnished with all used and or donated stuff. But over the years, we've gotten new equipment in here. So the equipment is
the
just like the
good.
One that's at Jean Bosch.
Yeah. Well, anyway, it's good to be back on the radio. And I hope all of you out there have been having non-issues over this weather and holiday time that we had together. So how are things in your world, Heidi? What's going on?
I not having a good week.
No.
It's because work is great. I have gobs of work for a couple more weeks. Things will mellow out. And I have decent money in my bank account.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's always good.
What the hell's the matter with me? No, I'm in a lot of physical pain. Just have a pinched nerve and some neurological stuff in my cervical spine. This is old, recurring stuff, and I'm due for a steroid injection in my cervical spine in my neck.
Ouch.
And it hurts. Like, tilting my head hurts. Bright lights. Like, I'm wearing a brim baseball hat, and I look ridiculous, but that's what...
Oh, I think you look pretty cute.
Thank you.
Especially with your mask hanging off your face.
Off her ear, yeah.
Off her ear, yeah.
Do I look sexy?
Very sexy. How about you, Susan? What's new in your world? Wait a minute. Heidi.
No.
I hope you feel better.
Thank you, friend. No, we're good. Continue, please.
Well, similar to Heidi in that I have been blessed with work, and similar to Heidi, I'm spending more time sitting behind the computer, which doesn't do anything for that cervical spine.
No, it doesn't.
No.
So not as bad as you, but I have some similar issues. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the life of a writer.
It is. It is.
Yeah.
You have your desk set up in a really great way because you can stand up.
Right.
Sit down if you want.
I stand up, sit down. Yeah. I move around. Yeah. I try to take yoga breaks.
I know. That's why she's thin and beautiful. She stands up and sits down, stands up and sits down.
She uses her abdominal.
And she runs and she swims.
I went swimming this morning and I thought of you, Heidi.
I did too. I was there. I went at 4:45.
Oh, no. I wasn't there that early.
Oh, that's early, Heidi.
I was there at 7. Yeah. You know, which is...
You took the swing shift.
The middle of the afternoon for you.
Awesome.
Well, let's do a short COVID update. I had a big scare last week.
Uh-oh.
And I woke up in the night twice with just, you know, gushing nose and gushing eyes. First night on the left side, second night on the right side. And so by the second night, I thought, you know, this is kind of weird. I don't get this. So I went and got a COVID test at MRC. And it's negative, which is good.
Woo.
But I just don't think we can be too careful now.
Agree.
I just don't think we can.
You know, I go back and forth. Part of me thinks, okay, I'm going to get it. So just try to stay strong.
Yeah.
And the other part of me is thinking, I don't want to get it because I don't want to give it to the people around me who aren't so strong.
I know. Well, and when I read the report that came out, when Friday was it? 131 new cases on Vashon. I mean, you know, last summer we were looking at 4.
Yeah.
Seven.
Yeah.
131.
Oh, my goodness. This so, is so bad.
Yeah, it's really bad. So everybody needs to be really careful.
Well, and I think the holidays had something to do with that.
Mm-hmm.
People were more relaxed
right.
despite the
right.
Omicron thing, and they were getting together. And
having all that spiked punch.
Well, that'll do it.
You know.
Bring me some Glühwein. But I'm stunned. Like, Cyprus just reported that it has Deltacron.
Yep, Deltacron.
What? Oh, yeah, there's 25 cases in Cyprus where they've been able to see it through the microscope. It's this new variety.
So they bred.
They did. They had sex.
Oh, my God, those little viruses.
Oh, yeah.
So it's a hybrid?
Yeah.
That's that.
That's
exactly
a hybrid.
Right.
That's what it is. Exactly.
Holy. That can't be good.
No.
No, and, you know, I was listening to the news last night, and I heard many people, not many, but I heard pundits say, we're just going to have to learn to live with this. This is how it's going to be.
Sure, like a flu, but it's so...
As long as it is like a flu.
I know. Well, it certainly took out a lot of people on its earlier
versions.
It
certainly did.
Yeah.
I hope things change in that regard pretty soon. I don't have a lot of hope right now, but I'm hoping that I can hope that.
And the world, like, you know, we have to get used to living with it. If everybody has that philosophy...
We'll be okay.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah.
And we can travel.
As in getting vaccinated, wearing masks, washing hands. Is that what you mean by that philosophy?
And the fact that it's going to be around.
So let's be careful.
Yeah. Both. All of it. But I feel like we'll be able to move about the cabin.
That'll be good.
Instead of sequestering.
Yeah.
Because
yes,
we're just going to have to be safe.
Yeah. Right.
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 Yeah. So, you know, things... We pride ourselves so much on Vashon and how wonderful we are and how
we're
lovely
special.
We are. We're so special. Well, Snowmageddon kind of changed some of that. And Susan, you had some stuff. I think I'd like to talk a little bit about safety, theft, and taking care of yourself when you're on Vashon. And Susan, you had some things to say about that, to tell us.
We did up on the north end, which is close to the North End Ferry Dock on our street. We had, I believe, 4 or 5 cars. I'm putting air quotes around broken into because we Vashonians don't lock our cars. And so things were stolen from those cars. The worst episode was a neighbor into whose house these prowlers broke. They walked in, they took her purse, which had her car fob in it, and they stole her car.
Oh my God.
Her doors were locked. They were French doors, so it didn't take much, I guess, to open them up. But her doors were locked. So,
and they were home.
They were home.
They were
home. Bed upstairs, right? They don't have a dog.
That just
they're going to get one.
So,
but yeah, it was really scary. And apparently, on 110th, there were other break-ins, and we've just recently heard, well, last Tuesday, there was another attempted car theft, which was thwarted by the
really?
Owner, and the thief was caught.
Oh,
good.
My goodness.
Yeah. So, crime has arrived on Vashon.
It ain't Mayberry RFD.
That's right. That's right.
Anymore.
That's right.
Yeah, it's interesting because I have never locked my car.
Mm.
And I'm locking it now.
Yeah.
I mean, I've never locked it here.
Right.
In the city,
right.
Of course. But so here we go.
You know.
And it's okay. That's okay.
I think these are the acts of desperate people. And there are more and more desperate people out there now because of the Omicron, because drug use has increased.
Yeah.
And
jobs are lost.
Jobs are lost, despite the fact, and this is a strange thing, the economy is doing great. We're getting more jobs. There's less unemployment, but still people are out of work.
Yeah.
So I don't get that part.
Well, Heidi, you had something you wanted to say about the the antics on your hill during Snowmageddon.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so.
Heidi lives on kind of a steep hill.
We're on Ferry Hill, 103rd, and... It's always treacherous when there's a first snow dumping. And we had a good, as you know, on Christmas night, a dumping, and very cold temperatures. So on that ice slick of a hill, people still thought they could take it. We came out front and just to check it out, and we didn't get out till much later in the day. Somebody had rammed into our retaining wall that we had Rogan Buck put in. Just, it's like a corner of our berm, but it's a tricky little spot. So these people really,
they really
hit it, and they banked and left a piece of their car behind. So I very forensically decided to get out the microscope, what's the thing? Magnifier glass. Oh. And I found some codes inside the part. And I typed it in Google, and there it was, a Mitsubishi Outback.
Okay.
You found codes inside the part that was left, as in like the VIN?
Kind of, sort of.
Kind of
yeah.
like that.
It was a part of a headlamp assembly that was way in our garden in the berm.
My goodness.
Like above the wall. So they really royally screwed up their car. And I posted on Vashonite's Facebook page, to the owner of the Mitsubishi Outback that hit our retaining wall, paging hit and run car.
And I suppose you didn't hear back.
I got a direct message from
you did
a man who said, "I hope you're having a better day than my parents did today. I believe they're the ones that hit your wall. The car is in the mechanic shop already," or something to that effect. And I said, "Here's my number. If you want, put me in touch." Immediately, the first call back was from the insurance company of theirs. They had just said, call her and fix it.
Well,
make
good.
It right. Very super
cool. Oh, good.
That's lovely.
Yeah.
That's...
We still haven't decided what we're going to do because it's sort of borderline. Like, do we call Rogan Buck and have him redo the wall, or do we just try to heft a few
Can you
of
patch
those?
It?
I think we can.
Yeah.
But they really did get it kind of bad.
Well, so, you know,
I have visions of this car spinning in circles with a couple of elderly folks in it going,
yes.
Well, you know, yeah. The weather has just been something. And
every year.
But you know what just kills me is that every year when this happens,
yeah.
there's always two or three people who decide that, you know, they drive their car somewhere and then they can't get out wherever they are. So they'll just push that gas down as far as it'll go and spin those tires as fast as they will go.
Mother, are you listening to Linda?
Then you feel, then you can smell the burning rubber.
Are you listening to Linda?
And all you're doing is making more ice if it's that cold.
Insanity,
you know?
Is doing the same thing and expecting different results, right?
Yeah, and when I watched somebody in the parking lot the other day. And it was a tiny little upgrade, what do you call it?
Incline?
Yeah. Thank you. And they were just spinning and spinning and spinning and spinning. And really, all she would have had to do was back up about 4 feet and start again.
Make a run at it. Ranches.
You know? But I learned about making a run at it growing up on a ranch because you just do.
Yeah.
That's serious.
In Montana. Where
I know.
I learned to drive in Chicago.
Oh, well.
In the winter. And so my dad would actually, you know, we had snowdrifts that were like 8 feet high most of the winter.
We did too.
So he would have me take my mother's car out and step on the gas, go really fast, then hit the brake. So I spun around in circles and I could learn how to deal with the spin out.
Well, that's a good plan.
It was fun.
Do
I
some
loved
cookies.
It.
Yeah.
Shout out to Jennifer Hawk, Bearded Lady Road Reports.
Oh my God, Jennifer Hawk.
Oh yeah.
And her stops. She would do those same stops you're talking about. Mm-hmm. She would go, okay, I'm gonna try and let's check the skid factor.
Yep. The right. skid factor.
Right.
I know.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So
she's
really
doing a great job with that. So, you know, part of what we're dealing with now, we're done with the snow.
Yes.
Okay. And but now we're dealing with atmospheric river. Have you heard that term?
Oh yes.
Okay. So I got really kind of pissy yesterday because I was just like, I can't hear that term anymore. I'm sick of it. That's a stupid term. So I looked it up and to find out where it originated from or what was going on with it, you know. Okay, so the term was originally coined by two researchers at MIT in the 90s to reflect the narrowness of the moisture plumes involved in atmospheric rivers. They're usually several thousand kilometers long and only a few hundred kilometers wide. And a single one can carry a greater flux of water than the Amazon River. It's a real river.
Wow.
It's up in the sky. It's a real river. It's a like a one of the descriptions in some of the stuff I read was that it's like a giant conveyor belt of water in the sky.
I can dig that.
You know?
And you know, I'm just thinking, what holds that up there? I guess it's not holding it up. It's falling down.
It's falling down. I don't know. Don't talk to me about that kind of stuff because that'll get my tiny little mind in a twist.
Oh, honey.
But anyway, this is so interesting. I was just dying to tell you guys about it. Atmospheric rivers have caused an average of $1.1 billion in damage, much of it occurring in Sonoma County.
Oh.
You know?
God's coming for you.
Okay, so, but here, 20 counties suffered 70% of the damage.
What?
And here are five of the counties. Snohomish, King.
I mean Snohomish.
What did I say?
Snohomish.
I thought
Snohomish. We were in California.
That's a
Snohomish.
It's a hybrid.
Snohomish. It's a hybrid. Yeah.
I thought we
Okay, Snohomish, King County, Pierce County, Lewis County, and Cowlitz County. Five.
Ooh, wow.
And those are to the tune of $1.2 billion, $2 billion, $900 million, $500 million in federal funds. Okay, so these guys study something I can barely say. Characterization of tropospheric turbulence. And the way that they get that is with aircraft and spaceship observations, you know, with satellites. But I also have to tell you something else that's not weather related. So Mr. Newell, who was one of the ones who coined the term, has passed. He's gone now. But John Nagamichi Cho is still at MIT, and he's still researching all of the atmospheric rivers we're having and what's going on up there. And he also is the spam haiku archive master at MIT. MIT has a website. It's compiled a treasure trove of uniquely delicious poetry from more than 40 pork file poets. Piggy prose, they call it.
That's amazing.
And so it's called Sham, the spam haiku archive master. Sham. That's what he is. He's a sham, he says. And his, I just want to read a couple of these to you. It's a huge website. You could go there for days. But here's one. They're haikus, there's some puns, and there's some riddles and some jokes, some poetry, all about spam. A bulge in my jeans? Is that spam in your pocket? I blush and say yes. Or how about, spam smells so sexy, a little behind the ears, and I can date cops. I'm not sure what that means.
So grossed out.
Is that gross?
I think that's referring to the nickname for cops, which is
Pooh. Exactly. I shouldn't have read that one. I'm sorry. I just thought it was funny.
We apologize to the officers of the law.
Okay, but this one I loved. CNN. Canned News Network, spamming the globe with processed packaged news.
I wondered when you mentioned spam early on if it was just about the meat or if it was actually spam junk mail.
No, it's not spam junk mail. It's spam in the can.
Okay.
And it's hilarious if you look it up. It's just, it's MIT. And so this guy's doing this incredible brainiac work and playing around with spam haikus. Which I just
sounds
love
like
that.
A great relief.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Definitely. And so now I have a poem I want to play for you. Let me get to it here. And this will lead us into our next, what do we want to call it? Our next project of talk. this is called, hang on. Wait a minute. What?
That was Tidbits. Never mind.
Okay, never mind. Yeah, that was. Sorry.
Okay.
This woman's name is Amanda Palmer, and she is an actress, singer, songwriter. And she reads When I Am Among the Trees by Mary Oliver. Here we go.
When I am among the trees, especially the willows and the honey locust, equally the beech, the oaks, and the pines, they give off such hints of gladness. I would almost say that they save me, and daily. I'm so distant from the hope of myself, in which I have goodness and discernment, and never hurry through the world, but walk slowly and bow often. Around me, the trees stir in their leaves and call out, "Stay a while." The light flows from their branches, and they call again. "It's simple," they say. "And you too have come into the world to do this, to go easy, to be filled with light, and to shine."
When the rhythm of the heart becomes hectic.
That, beautiful. Isn't that just beautiful? I think it kind of reminded me of when she was speaking about the light and that now we are finally returning to the light.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot of words of wisdom from, you know, women that we know. And this Mary Oliver is a very special poet. I know you both know her mm-hmm. and like her a lot. And recently we've lost some pretty incredible women.
I feel like we just lost another. Who did we just lose?
Betty White.
Betty White.
No, after that, there was somebody else that just passed. Never mind.
Okay.
It'll come to me.
So are we going to talk about Return of the Light, or are we going to talk about the women right now?
Well, I thought we were going to talk about Return of the Light.
Okay, I think we are too, because the women are coming later. We have some treats for you later.
We do.
About the women.
We do.
But right now, let's talk about the returning of the light. And here we have it. It's here. We're here, and we're getting, you know, two or three more minutes of daylight every day. I find this year, for me, that the weather has affected me a lot this year. And I don't know what returning of the light means to you. What does it mean?
To me, actually, it means that when I get up to walk my dogs in the morning, if mm-hmm. I do it early enough, I don't have to do it so early in order to see sunrise.
And
I love dawn. I just love it. And so it's more accessible mm-hmm. right now mm-hmm. than it is when the days are longer in mm-hmm. the summer, because then I can't get up early enough to see the dawn unless I stay up from the night before. Which, you know,
those probably hasn't happened in a while.
Those days are gone. Yeah. So it means that to me. And in the past, when I first moved here from Chicago, I used to have to find a project to get me through the winter mm-hmm. because I would get mm-hmm. such a case of sad. This year, it doesn't seem to be as bad. Maybe because the depression has lasted all year. From Omicron and the state of the democracy and whatever
true.
Else is going on. So it's not much of a change.
Right.
The bar is still low.
Right. The bar is really low.
Yeah, I know.
So, yeah, that's what it means to me. But I love to think about how early humans started celebrating at this time of year. But Heidi, I want to hear what this means to you.
I think literally it means gardening.
Really? Oh, you're and such a gardener.
Every first week of January, that territorial seed catalog comes in the mailbox. And there it was on Facebook. Oh, this year, a year ago, da-da-da happened. Well, guess mm-hmm. what showed up in my mailbox?
Oh, there it is.
Territorial seed catalog. And that thing is riddled with dog ears and Post-it flags now. It is like I have massive amounts to order.
That's wonderful. I think about all my gardener friends, you know, because you know I'm not a gardener. And I think about my gardener friends at this time of year because they're all so excited.
Yeah.
This catalog came and that catalog came. And did you hear about the new company that's doing the ancient seeds from Peru and, you know, I mean, right. It's really exciting stuff.
It's dream time for gardeners.
It is. Yeah,
dreaming and planning.
It's the hope. It's hope.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And really that's the theme. Because,
that's what the light, bringing the light is hope. Totally. It really is. Yep. I think one of the things before we can really appreciate the return to the light is that we have to know ourselves. We have to know ourselves before we can appreciate the light. You know, I mean, you can't drown the darkness with light. You can't. You have to bring the light to the darkness. It's not a war. It's a, I don't know. I don't know what I'm trying
to say. You're describing a handout, and you sort of like can't just have your hand out. You have to sort of generate it from within.
Exactly.
And I dig that.
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, you meet yourself, really. If you're doing self-reflection, looking inward, like we've done all winter.
Yeah. Quiet, we will continue to
do that. And then we meet ourselves in the darkness, I think. Mm-hmm. And then we can figure out where we're at. Where am I? Who am I? What am I?
Yeah.
And then we can move forward, I think.
You know, I think that has been a gift not only of winter. I think it's an opportunity every winter to do that. I think that's one reason that writers and artists live here in this part of the country, because it is a time to really go within.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think that's been a gift of COVID, because social life has been far more limited. And so there's not so much distraction from getting to know yourself.
Mm-hmm.
From being with yourself.
Yeah.
And coming up against those both beautiful and not so lovely parts of ourselves and accepting them.
I know. I was reading something the other day where someone made a suggestion that you make a list of yourself.
Huh.
Sort of like a pros and cons list, only it's a light and a darkness, or a negative, positive, whatever.
Uh-huh.
And make that list about yourself and be really honest with it. And then look and see, is that true? Is that true? Because some of the things that we think about ourselves are not true.
Yeah, and I think we're really hard on ourselves.
I think we're hard on ourselves, yeah. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the things that don't occur to us about ourselves are true and come through other people, other comments, friends.
Well, you know, that's a good point. And yeah, so if we're alone in the dark reflecting, how do we access what other people want to say about us?
Does our poop smell?
I think that's marriage.
My brand. Just kidding.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Yeehaw.
Yeah, that's the other thing I noticed is that
that
being isolated with a spouse, you learn kinds of things about another person that
that you didn't know even after all these years.
Or you didn't want to know.
Yeah.
Stir really. Well, right. To the toilet.
Yeah.
Yes. What about you? Yes. Sorry, guys.
I know. Well, for that reason, I'm glad I live alone.
Yeah.
Yeah. That part's kind of nice. Yeah.
But those comments, that's very true. I made a friend pretty angry last year. I annoyed her. I hurt her. I don't know. But she thought I was forensically taking her to task. And I guess I was in a way. But I recognized something about myself that I was being too... I was being a biatch.
Were you? Yeah.
But also, I shouldn't have just focused on her because she felt like I was attacking her. And that wasn't the case at all. I was actually really enthusiastic about something that she was doing.
Mm-hmm.
But it came out in a way that I need to tone it down and reel it in a little bit and maybe not be so hands-on with her. So that's all.
Yeah. Well, and that's something about yourself that maybe you didn't really want to know or look at, you know?
Yeah. No, it's good. It's a good thing. It just makes me bring it back.
Yeah.
And that takes courage, mm-hmm. I think. It takes a lot of strength and courage to look at the zits on your soul and try to pop them. Sorry, that's an ugly metaphor.
It's the being right thing, you know, for me.
Oh, yeah.
And I... and I will go to the ends of the earth just to say, see, I told you so.
Oh.
And that's the thing.
Is it?
And so I've learned, just knock it off. Like, what is there to be gained other than the mm-hmm. fact that, yeah, you're right? Because it sure doesn't make anyone else happy.
It doesn't make anybody else feel any better. That's true. That's true.
You know, and it's tough. It's tough when you're smart and you're verbal and you know, damn it, you are right.
Mm-hmm.
To try,
of course,
and
I'm right.
To try and communicate that in a way that is palatable for the listener, or to just swallow it.
That's
well, I swallow it. I swallow it because I'm so confrontation to me is just, oh my God, it's deadly. Deadly. And I can have a serious conversation about issues or things between us, if you will, in relationships. But confrontation is, I'll just go.
Go on, Linda.
I've got to go make some cookies now.
Which are delicious. And I have some Meyer lemons I am bringing to you.
Oh, are you? I'd love some.
You should see these beautiful, if only we had Facebook on. Oh. These beautiful, what do you call these cookies?
Citrus butter cookies.
They're ridiculous.
Citrus, ooh, they
yeah,
are
they are ridiculous. There's a lot of butter. And there's lemon and lime and orange juice and zest.
No, you need these lemons in your life because I need more of these cookies. They're so good.
Oh, see, there's always a catch.
No, I'll just take the recipe.
Okay.
So good.
Yeah, so back to who are you and how are we moving forward? And
see, now, I grew up being incredibly confrontational. And my mother used to say I was Susan of the rapier tongue.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I have spent a lifetime trying to walk that back.
Yeah, but see, I don't see that as confrontation. I mean, I haven't seen you in
it's
a live
like
confrontation.
Attack, but
I've seen you in situations where you vehemently believe what it is you're saying and the other person doesn't. I've seen that. And I don't think that's ugly.
Well,
I think it's strong.
I've had to learn as a reporter, honestly, mm-hmm. to ask questions that will get my interviewee to say things they may not want to say without being confrontational. And I also learned that listening allows the, can we say assholes on the air?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Allows the assholes of the world to expose themselves.
Yeah.
If you sit quietly and listen, you don't have to confront.
You don't have to say much.
Yeah. They'll expose themselves.
Yeah, I was thinking the other day, wouldn't it be interesting if we could take this concept of moving from the light or moving from the darkness into the light and make it worldwide? Like, wouldn't it? It's, you know, that old hippy dippy thing, you know.
Yes.
It's
like, nah, nah, nah. But we need it.
But wouldn't it be just so good if more people understood, or I guess thought like I do?
If only you were queen of the world, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
We do need that unity. I just feel like everything's getting so fragmented.
It is.
So much.
And all over the world. It's just all over the world.
I know. And I keep thinking we are killing ourselves mm-hmm. because we don't trust one another. We have lost trust. And therefore, we build all kinds of walls mm-hmm. and including walls that allow us to make ourselves sick and die.
Right.
I mean, how
because we're not willing
is,
to give up an idea or to think of an alternative to that idea.
Or to accept another person's
right.
idea or to accept another person's demeanor,
mm-hmm.
who they are, and welcome them, embrace them, rather than to say, you're the other.
Mm-hmm.
You're not me. Mm-hmm. You're the other. Well, thank God for the variety, honestly.
Yeah.
Someone hypothesized on Twitter this morning that if there wasn't social media, that maybe everybody would have been vaccinated by now.
Huh.
It's a really interesting thought.
It's an interesting thought.
Yeah, and if there hadn't been social media, maybe January 6th wouldn't have happened.
That's right. Sort of the same idea.
Yeah, same thing. Yeah.
Of course, I have a whole theory about January 6th, but that's a topic for another
day. Yeah, we'll do that another day.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. I want to hear it, though.
It goes way back.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we should put that on the calendar.
Okie dokie.
All right.
The attempts to overturn democracy
mm-hmm.
and how deeply it goes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's another one.
You know, I've been hesitating to talk about this because it's really hard for me, but this season has been an incredible experience in moving from darkness to light. Two very dear people died at Christmas this year. My people.
Yeah.
So I went to the deep, dark place for probably 3 weeks. And it was really, really hard. But one person who died was a really, really good friend of mine. And, you know, we had coffee together almost every morning. And we don't anymore. And it's really hard. Really, really hard. I'd only known her for like 3 years. But we became, and we were COVID friends, actually. Because we live in the same place. And we'd always meet for coffee outside in the yard.
Okay.
You know, and it, because it was there. And we could talk outside. So anyway, there was that. And she's gone. And it's really hard. And then my nephew died in Montana. In a horrific accident that involved a propane explosion.
So awful. Horrible. So awful.
Horrible. And what we know is that in that propane explosion, he was buried in 35 feet of mud.
Yeah. It was pretty terrible. It's been very traumatic. But I don't want to say but. Maybe I'll say.
And.
The good news is that the earth is warming up and the light is coming again. And I can take that memory with me into the light. It just happened at a terrible time.
Of course.
There aren't any good times.
I mean, there's no good time for that to happen. But I guess what I'm trying to say is that there is dark and then there is dark.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so my appreciation of the subtle nuances of light has been enhanced.
Oh my goodness.
Through this experience.
So you're more aware.
I'm more aware. Yeah. And I'm looking, oh, thank God there's that, which I never would have noticed before.
Aha. Uh-huh.
You know, so through the pain and the sorrow, you learn to open a little to the light, to the possibility of the light. You know, and it's also given me a big idea about how important it is that we know who we are and then move forward, take it forward, and with blessings.
Definitely.
You know,
and I think when we know better who we are, we're more capable of supporting others and sharing ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know what you got, then you know what you got to give.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
And I think one of the things we learn is that it is so refreshing and so fulfilling to be able to make somebody else feel a little better or to just
so true.
Do something nice for somebody.
You know, okay, that's another point. Because when I was sitting in the dark, in the dark, in the dark, I was so interior that all I could think about was how much I hurt. It was physical pain. It still is, kind of.
Of course.
But the first time I began to edge out from that was taking cookies to somebody else.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, it was the weirdest thing because I was, what am I going to do now? I just, oh, my God, I guess I'll bake some cookies.
Genius.
You know, so I did. And then,
man, oh, man.
And then giving them away made me feel, it made people happy.
Of course.
And so it made me happy.
Exactly. It does. And that's not to say that grief isn't going to come around the corner again.
Oh, it's a bastard.
You know, and and that's one of the things we do in this culture is I've been reading Joan Didion's book.
Oh, yes.
The Year of Magical Thinking.
It's a wonderful book.
Which is about the year her husband
died.
And she's so articulate about the process of grief and the process of death.
Yeah.
The book opens with, it's so ordinary. It was so ordinary. We were about to have dinner and then he was dead.
I remember that scene that she wrote. I can remember it vividly in my mind. I see it. I see their apartment. I see the table. I see what happened. Yeah, yeah. She's was an incredible writer.
Right.
And she had to learn who she was. She knew who she was at a very early age.
She seems to. Mm-hmm. She really had it together. Mm-hmm. Her incredible observations of human nature.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm a writer. I'm reading this book and I'm thinking, how is it one writer telling a simple story is so much more compelling than someone else? And from what I could tell in her writing, it's about the detail that she offers, both the interior and the exterior detail.
Detail,
it brings you right into it and you cannot put it down.
Mm-hmm. No, I couldn't put that book down.
Yeah.
I was a little iffy about it. I thought, oh, you know, it's going to be more espousing from her. But I read it and I absolutely loved it. And, you know, I have a love-hate relationship with Joan Didion. I mean, I like her a lot. I mean, she's a brilliant, wonderful writer.
A little didactic.
A little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah.
But, you know.
But it's the question of grief and the
dark.
Exactly. And when early humans started celebrating the solstice, they were doing it in tribes and they were doing it together.
Mm-hmm.
And they were scared. They mm-hmm. were scared shitless because they didn't think. Probably can't say
Oops.
That.
Hi there.
Could they? Beep. Because they were afraid it wasn't going to come back. And so.
Well, the light.
The light
yeah.
is not going to
yeah.
come back. And
yeah.
so they worshipped it mm-hmm. and they sang to it. Plus, they were hungry.
Mm-hmm.
Food was scarce. They
so
had
they
to get together
it.
And share
yeah.
it. And social life
mm-hmm.
blossomed
mm-hmm.
during that time. And so we've taken those traditions and we've kind of overdone it in some ways, but we've taken those traditions because that's how we feel.
Because that's how.
In the light or in the dark. Mm-hmm. We scientifically and intellectually, well, we know it's going to come back. Maybe they didn't, or maybe they did, but they decided they wanted to share that scary experience together and build one another up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the solstice.
And so many places, ancient places, are built toward the sun, for solstice sun to come through a certain corner or a certain window or a certain, you know, halo up high, something. So it's worshiping the light is a ages old human
Well,
habit.
And you talked about those solstice structures like Stonehenge and
mm-hmm.
the pyramids.
Mm-hmm.
That was fascinating. All of those
mm-hmm.
are...
They're aligned. Yeah.
Solstice.
Yeah.
That's...
And I read once, and I probably shouldn't even say this, but I know it's true because I read it in a book that if you. not online. Not online,
online.
In a book.
Yeah.
I was doing some research about history of all of the pyramids from South America up to Mexico. And I just wanted to see. I'm fascinated by them. And the thing that sticks out from that research that I did is that if you were in outer space or way up high in an airplane and you could see all of the pyramids from South America all the way up to, I think, Mexico City, they line up.
No
it's
way.
Like, yeah, there's a geometric pattern to the way they were built. And don't ask me details.
You know,
Man.
The UFO theories. Too.
Yes, I do
yeah.
know the
yes.
UFO theories.
That's exactly what
and
I thought.
And that's
remember
the first thing
a
I
UFO
thought about.
Over your head.
Yeah,
yeah
exactly.
Right. What was that? Was that not Chariot of the Gods? Was that what it was?
That was about Chariots of Fire.
Chariots of Fire.
But that was
a whole different thing.
Yeah. No, you're thinking about the one where the spaceship came down.
Well, yeah, there was that theory of the UFO.
Right.
Theory about
Many
it.
Theories. Yeah.
All over the place.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's fascinating.
I do too. So, you know, we could do some more research on that and find out more
Woo-hoo!
For next year for solstice because
okay.
it's, you know, for a number of reasons, you can probably guess, I've decided Christmas doesn't really mean much to me anymore.
Okay.
My mom died in December. I lost the love of my life in December. And then these two recent ones, and there have been a couple others. So,
you know,
solstice is going to be it for me. I love
okay.
solstice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Throughout the years, as I've observed, this is the time, this dark time, is also when the old ones die
mm-hmm.
and the weak ones die.
Mm-hmm.
It just seems like it's time to go.
For some, not
yeah.
for all.
Well, yeah,
yeah.
But those who are on the edge or on the verge or
mm-hmm.
In the wrong place at the wrong time.
Yeah.
Sydney Poitier, ding.
Ding, yeah. There it is.
That was it.
Sorry, guys.
That was it.
The most beautiful man on earth.
Oh, wasn't he?
Boy, oh boy.
Oh, yeah. To sir with love. Yeah. That's right.
Oh, Sydney.
Oh, you want to go back and watch all those movies?
Oh, I do.
Yeah.
Raisin in the Sun.
Mm, oh, yeah.
So beautiful.
Yeah.
I want to talk about some of these women that have passed.
Okay.
Recently.
Okay.
And I know we were talking about some interesting things they've said in the past. And I know that, Susan, you have something there from,
We're
going to talk about Betty White.
Right.
Joan Didion.
Mm-hmm.
And Bell Hooks.
Right.
Very different women. All very different, astute, brilliant women.
Well, here's something Joan Didion said that that relates to our idea of knowing oneself.
Mm-hmm.
She said, to free us from the expectations of others, to give us back to ourselves, there lies the singular power of self-respect. Without it, one eventually discovers the final turn of the screw. One runs away to find oneself and finds no one at home. Do you want me to repeat that?
What was the first line? No. Do the first line.
To free us from the expectations of others.
Oh, okay. That's what that
means. To give us back to ourselves. Mm-hmm. There lies the singular power of self-respect.
Mm-hmm.
Without it, one eventually discovers the final turn of the screw. You run away to find yourself, and there's no one home.
Because you were so engaged in what others think of you.
The expectations of others.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
You lose your own sense of self. That's good.
Yeah.
That's really good.
Happens to women a lot.
A lot. It's really common.
Lot.
Oh, yeah. I think we could each name 5 different examples. At least.
Of our own, you mean?
Of our own.
Oh, yeah. Things we've done because we thought other people wanted us to do them.
I spent most of my life worried about what other people thought. And it was in my middle 60s, probably, when I started thinking, wait a minute. Nobody else is here. It's just me. So I get to be who I am. And sometimes, you know, you got to put a bag over your head or whatever. But sometimes you can't be 100% honest when you're out in the world. But I sure try.
Yeah. And I think
it's easier the older I get.
Right.
You know,
well, you also get to the point of saying, you know, I don't have a lot of time to waste.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to waste it on people or things that I don't, as our lead James puts it, that don't light me up. I want to be lighted up.
That's beautiful.
I love that. I want to be lighted up too.
Yeah. We should all go out there and do what lights you up.
Mm-hmm.
And here's a good one from Bell Hooks. Contrary to what we may have been taught to think, unnecessary and unchosen suffering wounds us, but need not scar us for life. It does mark us. What we allow the mark of our suffering to become is in our own hands.
You know, that's so true. I think especially I can internalize that one immediately with grief, because you learn how to carry it. You don't ever get rid of it. You learn how to carry it,
yeah.
And it doesn't need to kill you. It does at first. But it will leave a scar. But
nobody's going to get out without scars.
Yeah, we can still move forward.
Yeah, those scars.
That was Bell Hooks, isn't it? Does everybody know who Bell Hooks is?
No, why don't you tell us?
Well, I don't know a lot about her. I know her. I know she's a poet. She's an early feminist. She wasn't a poet laureate anywhere, was she?
I don't know.
I don't know either. But she's a prolific writer.
Woman of color?
Woman of color, recently died.
Yeah. And she was fairly young. I know that.
She was maybe 60. I don't know.
What does Betty have to say to us?
These were my favorite quotes. Betty White, who just passed. My mother always used to say, the older you get, the better you get, unless you're a banana.
That's beautiful.
That reminds me, one time I was having dinner with some friends and my mom was in her middle 70s probably, and the woman that she was next to was older than she. And the woman next to her, everyone thought she couldn't hear anything. I mean, I just knew she was deaf, you know, so you didn't. So a little while later, some conversation happened and my mom asked her a question And she said, oh, well, it's what she said over there. And my mom said, oh, I didn't know you could hear that. And she said, oh, the other woman said, oh, don't tell anybody, but I have selective hearing loss.
That's cute.
And she said, you know, it's amazing what you can get out of if you just pretend you don't hear.
Kind of genius.
It is kind of genius. Yeah. She could hear everything, but she didn't have to act on it.
I like it.
I've got another from Betty White. I thought I had read something that was similar to what you were just saying, but I didn't. Best thing about being in your 90s is you're spoiled rotten.
Mm.
Everybody spoils you like mad, and they treat you with such respect because you're old. Little do they know you haven't changed. You haven't changed in the brain. You're just 90 every place else. Now that I'm 91, as opposed to being 90, I'm much wiser. I'm much more aware, and I'm much sexier.
She's pretty sexy.
Yeah, she was something else.
Yeah.
Amazing. Any other beautifuls in there?
Well, I wanted to close with Betty White, so I'm not sure I want to go back to
She's got a hold on us.
Somber ones. But
talk about something else, she says.
Well, here's one from Joan Didion, which our favorite people and our favorite stories become so, not by any inherent virtue, but because they illustrate something deep in the grain, something unadmitted.
Hmm.
This is what I personally call settling dust in my head.
That's good.
I like that.
Yeah. When I hear something and I go, oh yeah, I've always known that. Or that's a part of me. That settles the dust in my head.
Because you recognize?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I recognize that. Yeah, I knew that.
Well, I think her comments about getting old have been fabulous through the years, you know.
Betty White.
Yes. She really, I was sure hoping she'd make it to her 100th.
Yeah, I think she was too.
Yeah, I think she was planning on it. Yeah,
she almost did.
Yeah,
she got close. Did. Yeah.
So, I guess what we've done is, you know, talking about what's important and who's important and how do we move forward from here. And now we just have so many good things to look forward to because the light is coming.
That's right.
Yeah. Is your Heidi? Is your swimming thing gonna change now? Because of the light? Does that do anything for you in swimming?
Heck yeah. That means training. That's the other piece of it. There's the gardening thing. It's great. But it means just more daylight and time to go jump in the water and train. And just my health is not in a great spot right this second. And
does the swimming help that? Or does it make it hard to get to it?
It's physically hard to extend my right arm for full extension right now because of the pinched nerve in my neck.
Ah.
It goes down my arm and up to behind my eyeball on my right side.
Whoa.
So anyway.
And we have those things as we age too, you know.
Totally.
It's just like, oh my God.
Yeah.
And then somebody said the other day, and I know you've probably heard this before, but we were talking, somebody said, oh, you know, and then I stubbed my toe or I broke my ankle or whatever the hell it was. And somebody looked at me and said, oh God, now we're going to have the organ recital.
It's true. I know. I shouldn't even bring it up. I'm just
No, I want to know how you
when
are.
When you reach a certain age and you get together with friends, I call it the medical report.
It turns into the mail.
The organ recital.
It opens with
my kidneys.
The organ. I love that. My ache and sciatica.
But air tickets are purchased. This dark time is time to dink around on the internet. So I've purchased flights for my mother and myself. Mine is a multi-city, a month from June into July.
Oh.
Flying from here to Greece. Going to go swim for a week. I also had a Jersey swim that's been rescheduled twice already. A relay, a two-way relay. This time it's got to stick.
It's got to. It will. Third time's a charm, right?
Jersey as in England?
Yeah, UK, the Channel Islands. So in between that is a 10-day gap. And my mom was lamenting that she never gets to travel. So I called her out. I was like, where do you want to go? Oh, I would love to go to Germany and Austria. So I bought the tickets.
Oh, Heidi.
It's done.
Wow. Oh, wonderful.
It's on. Yeah. So I was like.
You're going with your mom?
She's going to meet me there because I'm not leaving because why would I increase my carbon footprint, Susan?
Thank you.
I just got to stick around. So rather than fly all the way back and all the way back.
Well, sure.
So I just zip up to Austria from the little island of Lefkada in Greece. And then I'm going to meet her in Austria. So all she has to do is change planes in London.
She can do that.
I think she can do that. Her luggage goes all the way.
So she going to Heathrow?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which
she
is
can do it.
A really
she can do it.
Same terminal. And
yeah.
So, yeah. So that's happening. And then we're going to go zip around and my brother might meet us there, which would be really cool. My brother, Christopher. I have two brothers.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
There's another one.
There's another one.
Yes. Your brother, Christopher, and your brother,
Turdling. So, turdling. By the way, the word turd is underappreciated.
I agree.
Such a great word.
Such a great word.
Like, I really hate that word.
But that's because it's so awesome.
It's so terrible.
It's almost onomatopoetic.
It is.
Because it kind of just drops.
It just kind of clunks.
You guys. Talk about something else.
Okay, fine.
So I'm done.
So Greece to Vienna to, and then leaving Munich back to London. Bye, Mom. She goes home. I fly down to from London to Jersey, and then, God willing,
yes,
we're gonna do this swim, this two-way freezing cold water, bikini only swim. It's gonna be amazing.
You know, I was talking with a friend of mine the other day about how anticipating a trip like that is so exciting, and there's so many good things, and you do a lot of research. And she says, oh, you know, if I plan to go somewhere in 3 months, let's say I'm going to go somewhere in 3 months, like Europe something, I start packing right away.
Yeah.
And then I change my mind over and over, and I say, well, no, I don't really need this. Because she said, it's like I'm playing like I'm getting ready to go, and I'm thinking about all these things.
That's great.
To have something to look forward to, you know. It's really important.
Yes.
So that's the light.
Well, that's fantastic.
Boom.
Heidi, checked off a couple of my bucket list things. Greece.
Yes.
Swimming in Greece.
Yes.
You're not swimming with the dolphins, though, are you?
There are dolphins that do.
Are there?
But I'm not going to like a dolphin tank.
No, don't do that.
If we see them, great. And they do come around.
Cool.
Fun.
Yeah.
Mm-mm-mm.
I'm going to live vicariously through you, my swimspiration.
Yeah.
Swimspiration is a really good word.
She is my swimspiration.
I love that.
I showed up at the pool today with calamine lotion under my armpits because guess what? I'm allergic to everything these days.
Oh, including chlorine.
I don't know what's wrong with. No, I showered when I got to the pool, but I'm allergic. And so I have like...
What's calamine lotion do? Is it like an anti-itch thing?
It soothes the itch, yeah. I just... Oh, it's the worst.
Yeah.
What am I allergic to? Because I didn't change detergents. I didn't change products. Something's wrong. Help me, doctors.
Help me, doctors.
Yeah, guys.
Well, we are getting down to the wire. Did we have any more emergency things we needed to speak?
Let's see. We'll be back again.
In two weeks. Yes, we will.
Two short weeks.
Fourth Tuesday of January.
And we're looking forward to it.
The date for which you'll have to look up because I can't remember.
I have no idea what date that is.
No.
What number that
is. No, I don't.
But.
It's the 25th.
Oh, you're good.
Oh, that is good.
That was good.
That's 3 days from my birthday.
Oh, well, folks,
now you know.
We'll be celebrating. Linda's going to have to bake her own cake.
I know. I will.
And bring it.
Oh, and bring it.
Uh-huh.
Okay. We can do that. Yeah, we can do that.
You heard it here. It's recorded.
Harmony and understanding, but you're going to rock it.
You think?
Oh, totally.
Oh, we'll see. We'll see what happens.
We will celebrate Linda's birthday.
But that's something for me to look forward to. I like my birthday.
All right.
So, all right, you guys. It's been wonderful talking to you.
Musica.
And thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks. And go to the light.
Yes,
not that way.
This is KVSH Fashion. Thanks for listening.